Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare. Jai Vishnu Pad, Paramahamsa, Padivraj, Kacharya, Sathata, Sathata, Shishamadit, Divine Grace, Asi Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki, ISKCON's Founder, Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Grantaraj, Sri Chaitanya, Acharya, Samarita Ki, Sri Sri Radha Radhanath Ki, Sri Sri Natai Gaura Hari Ki, Sankirtan Yajna Ki, Transcendental Book Distribution Ki, all glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchalila, Chapter 19. The Lord's Inconceivable Behavior. Starting with text 78. One full moon night in the month of Vaishakha, April and May, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to a garden. The Lord, along with his devotees, entered one of the nicest gardens, called Jagannath Vallabha. In the garden were fully blossomed trees and creepers, exactly like those in Vrindavan. Bumblebees and birds like the Shuka, Shari, and Pika talked with one another. A mild breeze was blowing, carrying the fragrance of aromatic flowers. The breeze had become a guru and was teaching all the trees and creepers how to dance. Brightly illuminated by the full moon, the trees and creepers glittered in the light. The six seasons, especially spring, seemed present there. Seeing the garden, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was very happy. In this atmosphere, the Lord had his associates sing a verse from the Gita Govinda, beginning with the words, Lalita Lavanga Lata, as he danced and wandered about with them. As he thus wandered around every tree and creeper, he came beneath an Ashok tree and suddenly saw Lord Krishna. When he saw Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began running very swiftly, but Krishna smiled and disappeared. Having first gotten Krishna and then having lost him again, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell to the ground unconscious. The entire garden was filled with the scent of Lord Sri Krishna's transcendental body. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smelled it, he fell unconscious at once. The scent of Krishna's body, however, incessantly entered his nostrils, and the Lord became mad to relish it. Srimati Radharani expressed to her gopi friends how she hankers for the transcendental scent of Krishna's body. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited that same verse and made its meaning clear. What follows is a verse from Gita Govinda, sorry, Gita, rather Govinda Lilamrita. It's a book written by, also by the same author as Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. But it's very intimately discussing the pastimes of Krishna and Srimati Radharani through the different periods of the day, through all the 24 hours of the day. The scent of Krishna's transcendental body surpasses the aroma of musk and attracts the minds of all women. The eight lotus-like parts of his body distribute the fragrance of lotuses mixed with that of camphor. His body is anointed with aromatic substances like musk, camphor, sandalwood, and aguru. O my dear friend, that personality of Godhead, also known as the enchanter of Cupid, always increases the desire of my nostrils. The scent of Krishna's body surpasses the fragrances of musk and the bluish lotus flower. Spreading throughout the 14 worlds, it attracts everyone and makes the eyes of all women blind. My dear friend, the scent of Krishna's body enchants the entire world. It especially enters the nostrils of women and remains seated there. Thus, it captures them and forcibly brings them to Krishna. Krishna's eyes, navel and face, hands and feet are like eight lotus flowers on his body. From these eight lotuses emanates a fragrance like a mixture of camphor and lotus. That is the scent associated with his body. When sandalwood pulp with aguru, kumkum, and musk is mixed with camphor and spread on Krishna's body, it combines with Krishna's own original bodily perfume and seems to cover it. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In another version, the last line of this verse reads, Kama Devera Mana Kaila Churi. This means the scent of all these substances mixes with the previous scent of Krishna's body and steals away the mind of Cupid. Translation. The scent of Krishna's transcendental body is so attractive that it enchants the bodies and minds of all women. It bewilders their nostrils, loosens their belts and hair, and makes them mad women. All the women of the world come under its influence, and therefore the scent of Krishna's body is like a plunderer. Falling completely under its influence, the nostrils yearn for it continuously, although sometimes they obtain it and sometimes not. When they do, they drink their fill, though they still want more and more. But if they don't, out of thirst they die. The dramatic actor Madan Mohan has opened a shop of scents that attract the women of the world to be his customers. He delivers the scents freely, but they make the women all so blind that they cannot find the path returning home. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his mind thus stolen by that scent, ran here and there like a bumblebee. He ran to the trees and plants, hoping that Lord Krishna would appear, but instead he found only the scent of Krishna's body. Both Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy sang to the Lord, who danced and enjoyed happiness until the morning arrived. Then they devised a plan to revive the Lord to external consciousness. Thus I, Krishna Das, the servant of Srila Rupa Goswami, have sung of four divisions of the Lord's pastimes in this chapter. The Lord's devotion to his mother, his words of madness, his rubbing his face against the walls at night, and his dancing at the appearance of Lord Krishna's fragrance. Purport. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, that he has been able to describe these four pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the blessings of Srila Rupa Goswami. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was not actually a direct disciple of Srila Rupa Goswami, but he followed the instructions given by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He therefore acted according to the directions of Rupa Goswami and prayed in every chapter for his mercy. Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus returned to consciousness. He then bathed and went to see Lord Jagannath. The pastimes of Lord Krishna are uncommonly full of transcendental potency. It is a characteristic of such pastimes that they do not fall within the jurisdiction of experimental logic and arguments. When transcendental love of Krishna awakens in one's heart, even a learned scholar cannot comprehend one's activities. The activities and symptoms of that exalted personality in whose heart love of Godhead has awakened cannot be understood even by the most learned scholar. This is a verse quoted from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are undoubtedly uncommon, especially his talking like a madman. Therefore, one who hears of these pastimes should not put forward mundane arguments. He should simply hear the pastimes with full faith. The evidence of the truth of these talks is found in Srimad Bhagavatam. There, in the section of the 10th canto known as the Brahmara Gita, the song to the bumblebee, Srimati Radharani speaks insanely in ecstatic love for Krishna. Purport. When Uddhava arrived from Mathura carrying a message for the gopis began talking about Krishna and crying. Then, one important gopi saw a bumblebee and began speaking to it like someone mad, thinking that the bee was a messenger of Uddhava's or was someone very dear to him and Krishna. The verses are as follows. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 47, verses 12 to 21. Anyway, I don't know what the rhythm is. Well, we'll read these verses. Madhupa kitava bando mas vishangrim sapatnya Kucha vilulita mala kunkama smashrubi arna Vahatu madhu patis tan mani ninam prasadam Yadu sadasi vidambyam yasya dutas tam idrik. My dear bumblebee, you're a very cunning friend of Uddhava and Krishna. You're very expert in touching people's feet, but I'm not going to be misled by this. You appear to have sat on the breasts of one of Krishna's friends, for I see that you have kumkum dust on your moustache. Krishna is now engaged in flattering all his young girlfriends in Mathura. Therefore, now that he can be called a friend of the residents of Mathura, he does not need the help of the residents of Vrindavan. He has no reason to satisfy us gopis. Since you're a messenger of such a person as he, what is the use of your presence here? Certainly, Krishna would be ashamed of your presence in this assembly. So, we can just refer to these verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, 47th chapter, because there's a little further explanation of the mentality or highly elevated state of Krishna consciousness being exhibited by this gopi who is actually Srimati Radharani. She's not referred to in the texts of the 10th canto by name. And sometimes people, uninformed people, challenge that perhaps it's not Srimati Radharani, or rather that they feel that on the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's not necessarily any evidence that Srimati Radharani is really very special, even though she's one of the gopis, and they're certainly very elevated devotees, but that amongst the gopis, there's no real evidence that Srimati Radharani is necessarily in a particularly special position. Therefore, these persons then challenge, why is it that on the altar, at least in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, why do we place next to Krishna Srimati Radharani and make some special effort to worship her? So this, of course, is a very mistaken type of an idea and has been soundly rejected. There is reference, a subtle type of reference, which appears in one of the verses just before here. Anyway, I'm not sure exactly which verse it is, but it mentions Aradhanam, that this particular gopi was a very great worshipper of Lord Krishna. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that the reason Shukadev Goswami did not mention Srimati Radharani by name is that if he had done that, if he had really focused very specifically on Srimati Radharani, then because Shukadev was such an elevated devotee and in the conjugal rasa and in a mood of separation from Radharani and Krishna, but particularly Radharani, then he would have gone into a trance. And he would have, it was very Shishi Radharadhanath Keja. His mind would have been so captivated by remembrance of Srimati Radharani that he would have gone into trance, and it was very likely that he would have stayed in that trance for a long time. In fact, he says that he probably would have stayed in that trance for about 6 months, and he wouldn't have then been able to complete his recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, because Maharaj Parikshit only had 7 days to live. So therefore he specifically made a point of not mentioning Radharani by name, in a mood of service, actually, to the devotee, Maharaj Parikshit. So therefore, he just mentioned her indirectly. But in relation to the verse we just read, I'll just repeat it again, and you can, then there's an explanation given actually by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Radharani says, "My dear Bumblebee, you're a very cunning friend of Uddhava and Krishna. You're very expert in touching people's feet, but I'm not going to be misled by this. You appear to have sat on the breasts of one of Krishna's friends, for I see that you have kumkum dust on your moustache. Krishna," of course that kumkum dust is not kumkum, it's the pollen from the flowers that the bumblebee has been going into to get nectar from. "Krishna is now engaged in flattering all his young girlfriends in Mathura. Therefore, now that he can be called a friend of the residents of Mathura, he doesn't need the help of the residents of Vrindavan. He has no reason to satisfy us gopis. Since you are the messenger of such a person as he, what is the use of your presence here? Certainly Krishna would be ashamed of your presence in this assembly." So we should just try and meditate on what's being said here, and then understand it in terms of this explanation given by Well, first of all, by Rupa Goswami from Ujjvala Nilamani, and then a further elaboration by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So Rupa Goswami says that this verse is an example of Srimati Radharani displaying what is called prajalpa. This doesn't mean prajalpa as we know it, talking about material affairs, but it means that in the madness of her overwhelmingly intense absorption in Krishna, that she's speaking madly, but speech is jalpa. So this is prajalpa. There are different types of jalpa or speech in these moods of transcendental madness. And each of the 10 verses which Radharani speaks to the bumblebee is an example of one of these 10, a particular one of these 10 types of mad speech. So this is called prajalpa. And Rupa Goswami says, prajalpa is speech that denigrates or criticizes the tactlessness of one's lover with expressions of disrespect. It is spoken in a mood of envy, jealousy, and pride. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that the word kitava bando expresses envy. Kitava bando, bando means friend, and kitava means a cheetah. So it can be understood either as a friend of a cheetah, that's Krishna, and Uddhava also, or, or else as a cheating friend, but Prabhupada translates it as the cunning friend of Uddhava and Krishna, or in other words, that he, the bumblebee, is being a cheetah, but Sridhananda Maharaj, he translates it as the friend of a cheetah. Then, another section, Sapatnya Tanna, he translates, he says, as examples of jealousy, talking about the residents of Mathura. Then pride is also described, and disrespect. So these are different types of attitudes being displayed by Srimati Radharani in the mood of madness and separation from Krishna. So then the next verse. Sakrid adara sudam swam mohinim payatva sumanasa eva sadyas tachyaje sman vavadrik paricharati katam tapada padmam tu padma yapi bata vrita cheta utama shloka jalpai. Krishna no longer gives us the enchanting nectar of his lips. Instead, he now gives that nectar to the women of Mathura. Krishna directly attracts our minds, yet he resembles a bumblebee like you, because he gives up the association of a beautiful flower and goes to a flower that is inferior. That is the way Krishna has treated us. I do not know why the goddess of fortune continues to serve his lotus feet instead of leaving them aside. Apparently she believes in Krishna's false words. We gopis, however, are not unintelligent like Lakshmi. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that this statement illustrates parijalpa, that speech which, through various devices, shows one's own cleverness by exposing the mercilessness, the duplicity, the unreliability, and so on, of Krishna. The mercilessness, duplicity, unreliability, and so on, of Krishna. Of course, we should understand that even though she's saying that mercilessness, like Krishna, attracts our minds. But he's like a bumblebee like you, because he gives up the associates. Now this, of course, resembles very closely the types of exchanges that go on between materialistic so-called lovers. Of course, their so-called love is not love as such, it's lust. There's a saying that love makes the world go round, meaning this lust, actually. Prabhupada said that the saying should be changed to lust makes the world go round. People shouldn't be known as lovers, they should be known as lusters. And that would be more suitable. And it sounds like Srimati Radharani has become obsessed with some sort of attitude like that. She's accusing Krishna. It appears she's being offensive to Krishna and not expressing a mood of selfless love. But actually she is expressing a mood of selfless love. She wants Krishna to come back so that she can please Krishna. Of course, at the same time, well, her pleasure lies only in pleasing Krishna. She's not thinking that Krishna should come back so that I can enjoy with him. No. She's thinking that Krishna should come back so I can help him enjoy. Of course, at the same time, naturally, she experiences happiness through the wonderful exchanges with Krishna. Smelling the beautiful fragrance of Krishna's body certainly makes her very happy. But the happiness which she experiences through touching Krishna, smelling his body, embracing him, being embraced by him, kissing him, being kissed by him. The happiness she experiences from that does not in any way influence her desire to please Krishna. It's not that some other element enters in, some conception of that, yes, I'm enjoying from this, and that is very important to me. No. It simply arouses more her desire to please Krishna. So her anger is being aroused because she feels that she wants to please Krishna, but now she doesn't have that opportunity. This is actually what's going on. So the next verse. So Prabhupada says that after hearing the bumblebee's sweet songs and recognizing that the bee was singing about Krishna for her satisfaction, Radharani replied. Anyway, I won't read the Sanskrit. Anyway, I'll try and read the Sanskrit. Kimiyaha bahu sarangre gayasi tvam yaduna adipatim agranam agrato napuranam Vijaya Sakasaki Nam Giyatam Tat Prasanga Shapita Kucharujas Te Kalpayantishtam Ishta. So before I read the translation, I'll just say what moods this is displaying. So this is a demonstration of Vijalpa, which is, according to Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, or according to Srila Rupa Goswami actually, Vijalpa is sarcastic speech that is addressed to Krishna and that openly expresses jealousy while at the same time hinting at one's angry pride. Now it may be a little hard to grasp all this. In fact, it may be very hard. But we'll now read the translation and perhaps we can perceive in it, in the statements that Radharani is making, how there is sarcastic speech there addressed to Krishna and openly expressed jealousy while at the same time some hint of angry pride in a mood of love for Krishna. Dear Bumblebee, Lord Krishna has no residence here, but we know him as Yadupati, the king of the Yadu dynasty. So that is certainly some sarcasm. We know him very well, and therefore we're not interested in hearing any more songs about him. It would be better for you to go sing to those who are now very dear to Krishna. So that's jealousy. She's thinking that we're not dear to Krishna. So you go to sing, you go and sing to those who are dear to Krishna. Those women of Mathura have now achieved the opportunity to be embraced by him. They are his beloveds now, and therefore he has relieved the burning in their breasts. If you go there and sing your songs to those fortunate women, they'll be very pleased, and they will honor you. So I think it's quite clear there how Srimati Radharani is manifesting sarcasm, open jealousy, and there's certainly some angry pride there. So the next verse. Kamiha bahu sadangre gayas. I'm sorry. Divi bhuvi cha rasayam ka striyastadura pa. Kapata ruchi rahasa bhuvi jimbasa yasyu. Chayana raja upaste yasya bhutir vayam ka. Api chakripana pakshehi utama shloka shabda. So this is an example of ujjalpa, which according to Rupa Goswami means the declaration of Lord Krishna's duplicitous nature in a mood of spite, born of pride, together with jealousy. Together with jealousy. In the form of insults. So that is, these are the features of this statement here. O collector of honey, Krishna must be very sorry not to see us gopis. Surely he's afflicted by memories of our pastimes. So this is definitely a somewhat spiteful mood. Therefore he sent you as a messenger to satisfy us. Don't speak to us. All the women in the three worlds, where death is inevitable, the heavenly, middle, and lower planets, are very easily available to Krishna, because his curved eyebrows are so attractive. Moreover, he's always served very faithfully by the goddess of fortune. In comparison to her, we are most insignificant. Indeed, we are nothing. Yet, although he's very cunning, Krishna is also very charitable. You may inform him that he is praised for his kindness to unfortunate persons, and that he is therefore known as Uttama Shloka, one who is praised by chosen words and verses. So this is certainly declaring Krishna's duplicitous nature in a mood of spite, born of pride, together with jealously spoken insults. This Rijashirasipadam ved me aham chatukaraya. Anunaya vatushas tebyetya dotyar makundat. Swakrita ita visrishtapatya padyanya loka. Yasrajida krita cheta kimnu sandeyam asmin. So Srila Rupa Goswami says that saintly persons have concluded that when a lover, impelled by jealousy and fear, declares that Lord Hari is unworthy of her attachment because of his harshness, lustiness, and dishonesty, such speech is called avajalpa. So Srimati Radharani says, when we remember the past births of Krishna, my dear bumblebee, we are very afraid of him. In his incarnation as Lord Ramachandra, he acted just like a hunter and unjustly killed his friend, Vali. Lusty Supurnaka came to satisfy Ramachandra's desires that he was so attached to Sita-devi that he cut off Supranaka's nose. In his incarnation as Vamana-devi, he plundered Bali Maharaj and took all his possessions, cheating him on the pretext of accepting worship from him. Vamana-devi caught Bali Maharaj exactly as one catches a cow. "My dear bumblebee, it's not very good to make friends with such a person. I know that once one begins to talk about Krishna, it's very difficult to stop. And I admit that I have insufficient strength to give up talking about him." So this is talk impelled by... Oh, no. Saintly persons have concluded that when a lover... And of course, when we hear this word lover, we are reminded, or we may be prone to be reminded of Romeo and Juliet and this one and that one and all these lusty affairs of this world. But here, when the word lover is used, we should understand that it is really meaning one who loves the beloved. In other words, there is the mood of selfless love and the desire to simply please without any concern for one's personal sense gratification, even though it may appear in certain regards to be like that. So, saintly persons have concluded that when a lover impelled by jealousy and fear declares that Krishna is unworthy of her attachment, because of his harshness, lustiness, and dishonesty. Harshness means Lord Ram killed Vali while hiding behind a tree. Lustiness means that Lord Ramachandra was so attached to Sita that he wouldn't reciprocate with Suparnaka when, according to the rules for Kshatriyas, he should have. And dishonesty means Vamanadeva cheated Bali Maharaj. Then the next statement, next verse is Yadanu Charita Lila Karana Piyusha Viprut Sakrida Dana Viduta Dwanda Dharma Vinashta Sapadi Griha Kutumbam Dina Mutsritya Dina Bahava Iha Vihanga Vikshucharyam Charanti, which is Abhijalpa. Sri Rupa Goswami says, when a lover indirectly states with remorse that her beloved is fit to be given up, such speech uttered like the plaintive crying of a bird is called Abhijalpa. So, Radharani says, in this mood, topics about Krishna are so powerful that they destroy the four religious principles, religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Anyone who drinks even a small drop of Krishna katha through oral reception is freed from all material attachment and envy. Like a bird with no means of subsistence, such a person becomes a mendicant and lives by begging. Ordinary household affairs become miserable for him, and without attachment he suddenly gives up everything. Although such renunciation is quite suitable, because I am a woman, I'm unable to adopt it. So there she's expressing the mentality of remorse that her beloved is fit to be given up. Anyway, according to Sri Rupa Goswami. Then the next verse, Dayamritami vajima vyaritam shradadhana kuli karutami vagya krishna vadvo haranya dadrishura sakrid etatan nakaspar shatir vaktivra smarar ruja upaman trim bayatam anyavarta. This is Ajalpa, a statement spoken in disgust, describing how a male lover is deceitful and brings one misery, and also implying that he gives happiness to others, is known as ajata. So Radharani says, "Oh, my dear messenger, I'm just like a foolish bird that hears the sweet songs of a hunter, believes in them due to simplicity, and is then pierced in the heart and made to suffer all kinds of miseries. Because we believed in Krishna's words, we have suffered great pain. Indeed, the touch of Krishna's nails has injured our faces. He has caused us so much pain. Therefore, you should give up topics concerning him and talk about something else." So then the bumblebee left, and Radharani became upset because she was afraid that the bumblebee has now gone back to report to Krishna, to report on her to Krishna. So, but then the bumblebee comes back very, very quickly. In fact, he didn't actually go to Krishna, but because she's in this state of madness, in separation from Krishna, she thinks like that. So now she displays a completely different mood. She was chastising Krishna and the bumblebee in so many ways, even spiteful ways. But now her mood changes completely because actually she loves Krishna. She's not actually angry with him in the sense as we see it, that people become angry, and even though they may have quote-unquote loved that person or had some attachment for that person, but if that person lets them down or does something to them, then they actually become angry. And that so-called love, it goes. And even sometimes they may kill that person. Like when married couples, they divorce sometimes. So, generally speaking, when they divorce, they have very hard feelings towards each other. And whatever sentiments they had earlier on, when they decided, yes, I'm so attached to you that I want to spend the rest of my life with you, all that sort of stuff, that's all forgotten completely. And now this mood of dissatisfaction and anger is there. But in these pastimes, when Radharani becomes angry or even spiteful and complains, actually, in a very elevated transcendental sense, which is very hard to understand, but we should try to at least appreciate the fact that it is an expression of transcendental love. Actually, really, she is expressing like that, in a mood of deep affection. So now, she expresses a mood of concern that I've been speaking in a way which Krishna may take to be that I'm rejecting him, but I'm not. So now let me speak in such a way to make it clear that I'm not rejecting Krishna. I'm not angry with him. Actually, I'm very attached. I'm very fond of him. So you can then go back and report that, so Krishna won't abandon me. So, this next verse is described by Srila Rupa Goswami. It's Pratijalpa. When the lover humbly states that although she is unworthy of attaining her beloved, still she cannot give up hoping for a conjugal relationship with him. Such words, spoken with respect for her beloved and her beloved's message, are called Pratijalpa. So this translates,
You are Krishna's very dear friend, and by his order you have come here again. Therefore, you are worshipable for me. O best of messengers, tell me now, what is your request? What do you want? Krishna cannot give up conjugal love, and therefore I understand that you have come here to take us to him. But how will you do that? We know many goddesses of fortune now reside at Krishna's chest, and they constantly serve Krishna better than we can. So what a dramatic change of mood. So this is because love is there. What to speak of love, but the most practically inconceivable elevated stage of pure love for Krishna. Even though a few verses ago she was saying that you are Kitava Bando, you're a either, which can be taken that either you're a very cunning friend of a cheetah, or you are just a cheetah. You're a cheating friend. Like that. And speaking spitefully. But now what a dramatic change. So then the next verse, final verse. Apibata Madhupuryam Aryaputra Dunaste Smarati Sapati Gehan Somya Bandrums Chagopa Kwachid Api Sakatana Kinkarinam Granite Bujama Guru Suganda Murni Adasyat Kadanu. So this is Srimati Srinirupa Goswami says, oh yes, that this is sujalpa, when, out of honest sincerity, a lover questions Krishna with gravity, humility, unsteadiness, and eagerness. Such speech is known as sujalpa. So, Srimati Radharani says, Krishna is now living like a gentleman at the Gurukul in Mathura, forgetting all the gopis of Vrindavan. But does he not remember the sweet house of his father, Nanda Maharaj? We are all naturally his maid servants. Does he not remember us? Does he ever speak about us? Or has he forgotten us completely? Will he ever forgive us? And once again touch us with those hands, fragrant with the scent of Aguru. These are very beautiful verses. They're quite elaborate just purports in which Lord Srila Vishwa Chakravarti Thakur, in his very extraordinary transcendental way, enters into this pastime, and as we've mentioned at other times in regard to Bhagavad Gita, in between the stated verses here, he records the other features of the conversation which take place in between the verses as they appear within the Bhagavatam. So I won't read all that because it's fairly elaborate, but if you want to have a look at it, look in the 47th chapter of the 10th canto, and you can read it all. But I will read a description given by Srila Rupa Goswami, which explains these different types of jalpa briefly. It is virtually only within the princess of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani, that the ecstasy of bewilderment arises. She has attained to a special stage of this bewilderment, a wonderful state that resembles delusion. Known as Divyanmada, it has many aspects which come and go unsteadily. And one of these manifestations is Chitrajalpa. This talk, induced by her seeing her beloved's friend, is filled with covered anger and comprises many different ecstasies. It culminates in her intense, anxious eagerness, as we heard in the last verse. This Chitrajalpa has 10 divisions, known as Prajalpa, Parijalpa, Vijalpa, Ujjalpa, Sanjalpa, Avajalpa, Abhijalpa, Ajalpa, Pratijalpa, and Sujalpa. And the comment is there. Finally, some authorities say that Krishna himself, eager to drink the sweetness of his beloved speech, assumed the form of the messenger bee. So those are some interesting points in these regards. Next verses are describing, or in the purport at least, there it's quoting the sort of parallel statements of the queens of Dwarka. So we can discuss that next Sunday. So does anyone have any comments or questions? I know it might all sound a little esoteric or something. But Srila Prabhupada has given it all here, and in the purports of Srimad Bhagavatam, these things are described. So we can try to appreciate them. Of course, we should by no means try to imitate. If something goes wrong and we, in our devotional service, and we somehow or other become inspired by the influence of the material energy to feel that Krishna has let me down, then we shouldn't start thinking like Srimati Radharani is speaking here, that, oh, well, anyway, as we've read, shouldn't do like that. Well, we should take the humble position and not fall under the influence of Maya. There are two types of Maya. One is Maha Maya. That is the one that we are under. And that Maha, Maya means illusion, and Maha means great. Simply a great illusion in which everything becomes distorted. Everything, including our perception of Krishna, even to the point that we may not perceive him at all. Then there's another type of Maya that's called Yoga Maya. Again, of course, Maya means illusion, but Yoga means that which brings us closer to Krishna. So this Yoga Maya is illusion, but it's illusion which brings the devotee closer to Krishna. And we are not, unfortunately, on that level. So we shouldn't artificially either try to develop it. It may well come as time goes on. Perhaps a considerable amount of time goes on. So we shouldn't try to imitate it. And if anything happens which stimulates us to feel some sort of antagonism towards Krishna, then we should very quickly understand that this is Maha Maya and be careful not to become affected by it. Any comments from anyone? Questions? Prophesied, Prabhu? Some enlightenment? Or anyone? Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.